Today we're going to talk about a guy named Jonah. I guess you guys figured that out by now. But Deborah asked me to keep this message at a reasonable length, right? So I was able to narrow it down to about an hour. All right? So we're good for that, right? Everybody, no plans? Okay. So Jonah is a guy who lived a long time ago, and we know this because we read about him in the Bible, right? There may be some new people here, but when you read about people in the Bible, chances are they lived a while ago. It's been a while since they've lived. So, but Jonah, his story takes place in the book of Jonah, and there's only four chapters in this book, so it's really easy reading. And today we're going to only look at two chapters. So, which means that after service, you only have two chapters, or actually a page and a half to finish the book. So, homework, right? Okay. Oh, I guess my battery's dead, so I'm going to stay right here. How's that? So, Jonah is a prophet of Israel who we believe lived sometime around 780 BC. And it's believed that he lived in this little small town called Gath-Hepher, just outside of Nazareth. And one day, God delivers a message to Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh and preach to them, saying that their acts and their deeds were wicked in the eyes of God. So Jonah does exactly what God tells him to do, right? No, of course not. He runs the other way. In fact, the opposite direction. You see, he flees to this city, seaport city called Joppa, and he hops on a boat going to the town of Tarshish, which is outside of the Strait of Gibraltar on the coast of Spain. And, you know, I know most of us are visual people, so, and I don't think anybody brought a globe with them today, right? So I made a slide. You got the first slide there? All right, so you can see Gath-Hepher right there. And he's told to go to the northeast to Nineveh, but he goes southwest to Joppa. He literally went 180 degrees in the opposite direction that God called him to go. Now consider this for a moment. How can we take this story and reflect our own lives in it? Is it safe to say that at one point or another in our lives that we've gone the opposite direction that God has called us to go? All right, maybe that was too personal. Can we agree that our kids often do the exact opposite of what we ask them to do? Okay, if you can see yourselves in your kids, then maybe you can see yourself in Jonah's story. And you know what? My story's no different. Many of you have heard of this thing called the Walk to Emmaus, right? Well, in 2006, I went on my walk to Emmaus, and it changed my life. I mean, it blew my mind. And now, I'm not trying to recruit anybody to go on any of the upcoming walks, next slide, which is happening on July the 26th, September the 20th, and September 27th, and you can see whether men or women. But if you're thinking about it, please talk to any of the people that are about to raise their hands. Now, if you're a member of the Fourth Day and have been on your walk to Emmaus, please raise your hands. Look at that. Look at that. All of these people will be more than happy to share their experience with you and explain why it might be important that you consider this time. Okay, enough of that. Let's move back to the story. So, on my walk, I heard a call to follow God. And I didn't know exactly what that call was saying. So I did what I recommend anybody to do, is I went and I found one of my pastors, found my associate pastor at the time, Pastor Carolyn McCall, and I sat down and I spoke to her about this. And she said, okay, well, is it leading you to pastoral ministry? I said, I don't know. Maybe. I just don't know. And she says, okay, well, what kind of education do you have? I said, none. I'm a high school dropout. I've got a GED. She says, okay. Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is get a bachelor's degree. I was like, whew, thank goodness. Now I don't have to be a pastor. No offense. But, you know, I was scared to death to be a pastor. I mean, that's a huge responsibility. I mean, you have no free time, right? So I was so happy that my lack of education was preventing me from going down that road. So I ran the other way as fast as I could. It sounds a little like Jonah, doesn't it? Oh, yeah. We're here to talk about Jonah. Jonah, that's our guy, right? So next slide. So here's a better map right there. You can see Gath Hepher and Nineveh and Joppa on the right side. And he was going to Tarshish, literally on the edge of the known world at the time. And as he's leaving, God sends this massive storm that's breaking the boat apart. And the crew on this boat start throwing off all the supplies and everything that they could to try to lighten the load, to save their lives. And what is Jonah doing in the midst of this? He's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. Lazy guy. And so the captain goes up to him, wakes him up, says, Jonah, get up. Get up and pray to your God so that we might be saved. And then not knowing what else to do, after everybody had thrown everything off, everybody had prayed to their gods, they decided to cast lots. Now, casting lots is similar to drawing straws. It was a means of using chance to find out who was responsible for this supernatural storm. And the lots singled out Jonah. So they asked Jonah, who are you? What country are you from? Who are your people and who do you pray to? And he says, I'm a Hebrew. I pray to Yahweh, the God who made everything. And they asked him, okay, why are you fleeing from God? And what can we do to save ourselves? And Jonah says, throw me out of the boat into the sea, and it will calm the sea. So at first, they didn't want to do that. So they started rowing to shore as fast and as hard as they could, but it was getting them nowhere. And then finally, they prayed to Yahweh and said, Yahweh, please forgive us. Don't make us pay for what this man did. And they threw him into the sea. And at once, the seas were calmed. And the men fell on their knees and worshiped the Lord. Then God sent a big giant fish to swallow Jonah. And there he stayed for 3 days and three nights. That's chapter one. It's pretty exciting so far. Now, chapter 2 begins with the prayer that Jonah says to God after being in the fish for 3 days and three nights. Wait a second. Hold on right there. Before we look at this, would you consider this for a moment? It took Jonah 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the sea to finally put his pride away and ask God for forgiveness. Ask God for help. You know, when I was reading this, I was like, man, that's a stubborn guy. Now, earlier, I told you how I ran the other way, just like Jonah, right? And for a while, I was doing well, just like Jonah did well. I mean, Jonah ran from God, right? God could have stopped him there in Gath Hepher or in Nazareth. He could have stopped him on the road to Joppa, but he didn't. He could have stopped him as he was getting on the boat. He could have stopped them as the boat was leaving port, but no, God let him run. And I was doing well on my road too. 4 years after I talked to Pastor Carolyn, I ended up going to school. I ended up starting school at Lone Star, but I didn't do it for ministry reasons. I did it because I wanted to make myself more valuable to my employer so that I can earn more money and better provide for my family. And everything was going great. I was doing well in school. I was doing well at work. But then, in 2013, I lost my job. I was working in the transportation industry, and they released me. Now, first, I know many of us here can relate that our job defines us. And when you don't have a job, that it kills you. And so I was looking at my life, and I said, you know what? This is an opportunity. Right now, I'm working towards an associate's degree, but I could be going for a bachelor's degree. So I went ahead and I enrolled in the University of Houston in their School of Business, and I cashed in my 401k so that I can fund a business doing real estate. Because at the university, you can't go to school and work a 9-to-5 because your undergrad's during the week and during the day. So I started a real estate company so that I can work around my school schedule and still earn enough for my family. And for a while there, it was going great. After the first year, my business was picking up. I was doing well. I was on the dean's list at school. Everything was going great. But that wouldn't last forever. Much like Jonah, I was about to be swallowed by a big, giant fish called debt. In 2017, from March to October, I received no income from my real estate business. I had two cars in my driveway that were broken down and no money to repair them. The only car I did have was on the verge of being repossessed. The mortgage company is wanting to take our house. I wallowed in my financial debt for months. And then I finally did what I should have done from the very beginning. What took Jonah 3 days to do in the belly of a fish. I hit my knees and I prayed. This is the prayer that Jonah says in chapter 2. It starts at verse 2 and it goes on through verse 9. Go ahead, next slide. I called out to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. From the belly of the underworld, I cried out for help. You heard my voice. You cast me into the depths of the heart of the sea, and the flood surrounds me. All your strong waves and rushing water pass over me. So I said, I have been driven from your sight. Will I ever look upon your holy temple? Waters have grasped me to the point of death. The deep surrounds me. Seaweed is wrapped around my head. At the base of the undersea mountains, I have sunk down to the underworld. Its bars held me with no end in sight. But you brought me out of the pit. When my endurance was weakened, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, to your holy temple. Those who deceived by worthless things lose their chance at mercy. But me, I will offer a sacrifice to you with a voice of thanks. That which I have promised, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Is it hot in here? Is it just me? Well, then God had the fish throw up Jonah on the shore. Jonah was literally at the bottom of the sea at the end of his life, before he finally resigned to do what he should have done from the very beginning. He trusted God and told God that he would sacrifice whatever God asked of him. Now, I would wager that most of us have been in a situation just like Jonah. I would bet that all of us have allowed our pride to get in the way of God's desire for us. God calls us to do his work. We often let fear and pride and other people get in the way of God's plan. Maybe we think his plan is too hard, or maybe it's too expensive, or maybe it's out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we just need a good slap in the face to see what's important and what is God's plan. And sometimes it takes more than a slap in the face. Just as Jonah was thrown from the boat and swallowed by a giant fish, last year I found my worldly success is failing. I found myself buried in a sea of debt. I hit my knees and I asked God what he wanted me to do. I told God that I was going to do whatever it meant. If it meant dropping out of school and getting a regular job, whatever it was that he wanted me to do, I was willing. After the prayer, I thought I'd feel better. But for the next 2 weeks, I kind of felt alone. I felt like God wasn't listening. And to top that off, I had a song stuck in my head. Some of us may have VBS songs still stuck in our head from last week, right? Well, what was worse than that, because it wasn't a whole song. It was just one lyric from a song. And the lyric comes from a song by Casting Crowns. And the song is Just Beheld. And the lyric is, here's the next line, your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. For 2 weeks, that was stuck in my head. Your world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. And I'm telling you, it was getting very annoying. But after 2 weeks, and it took Jonah 3 days, it took me 2 weeks, I finally realized what God was trying to tell me to do. So I spent the day examining my life. Okay, if my world's not falling apart and it's falling into place, where is it leading me? I'm a high school dropout. That's a year away from graduating with honors from the University of Houston. That excuse that I gave God so many years ago wasn't valid anymore. So I hit my knees again and I prayed, and I told God that I was going to answer his call. The very moment I got done, I went to my computer and I emailed Pastor Deborah. And she set up an appointment with me for the next week to talk about the ministry and what my call would be like. And two days after I emailed Pastor Deborah and set this up, I received another email from the university. It said I was a recipient of a scholarship. Now, I had been in school since 2010. Working very slowly, but never receiving a scholarship. Now, I was a recipient of the Ted Bauer Undergraduate Business Scholarship. That's a scholarship that pays out over 2 years, $28,000. Additionally, my real estate business started picking up, and I finished the year very well. God pulled me out of my debt as soon as I answered his call. I wasn't expecting it. I'm not saying I'm rich, far from it, but I'm not worried about paying the bills. You know, last January, I attended the candidacy summit at Lakeview, and now I'm an exploring candidate for ordained ministry. Amen. It's my plan to enroll in seminary in the fall of 2019 at Perkins. When I was asked by Pastor Deborah to do this sermon, I got to choose the misfit character that I wanted to talk about. You know, I felt that in my recent life, Jonah was a really good fit. I often let fear and pride get in the way of what God wanted me to do. But the more I was preparing for the sermon, the more I realized that we all fit in this story, one way or another. Now, God did not completely fix Jonah when he had him thrown up on that shore. And I imagine that I'm going to make mistakes along the way. But I feel like the message that God is telling us in this story is that no matter how bad our lives get, no matter how bad we bury ourselves, he is there to redeem us. Even the greatest misfits in the Bible or all over the world can be redeemed by God if we only ask. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your message. And Lord, I thank you for pulling me out of the darkness. Lord, I just ask that you allow all of us to listen to you, to hear your call, and to answer that call, Lord. You have great plans for all of us. And we just ask that you help us to see those plans clearly. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.